Matthew 16, beginning with verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?"
Good morning. It's good to see you people this morning. Your smiling faces out here. I trust everybody got some rain, and that makes a smile for sure, as brown as the yards have been. I appreciate Brother John's prayer and asking God to help everyone open their ears and open their hearts this morning. I like that. I've got a lesson this morning that I've just entitled, "Step Out of the Crowd." This lesson is to everyone. Preachers, Bible teachers, elders, I suspect that all of us are stuck in some crowd that we need to step out of in order to be able to do the Lord's work and to do it effectively, to do it the way that we need to do it. Some people are hiding in a crowd, and that's what I want to talk about this morning in Brother Stephen's scripture reading just a few moments ago. In that reading there is found four or five different crowds that people might be stuck in. There is the crowd of those who are trying to live their lives here now according to the world's standards. And then there are those that are in a crowd that doesn't care about living by the world's standards. They want to live by God's standards, and they want to save their soul in heaven someday. So these are the things that I want to talk about this morning, go over some things, and I want us to all just be honest with ourselves. And if you're hiding in a crowd, if you're stuck in a crowd, then let's be honest with ourselves about it. You've probably all seen the big marathons start. The New York Marathon, the Boston Marathon, the St. Jude's Music City Rock and Roll Marathon. I think the last time that marathon was run, there was something like 30,000 people in a crowd at the starting line. I've never been a runner much. Our son was the marathon runner, but he quit that a few years ago. But he ran in several marathons, ran in that one as a matter of fact. But the thing is, if you're going to get anywhere in that race, you've got to get out of that crowd. You cannot win. You cannot achieve your personal best if you don't get out of that crowd. And you'll notice that the winner of a marathon race is running alone. No one is around him. There's usually no one even coming up behind him and her, him or her. They're acting singularly. Why do I bring this up? Well, I bring it up because I think that there's a spiritual lesson to be learned. The church is adversely affected by crowds. Individual Christians are adversely affected by crowds. The American Heritage Dictionary has defined the word crowd as a group of people who are united with a common characteristic such as age, vocation, special interest, etc., etc., etc. It could be any other thing. You fill in the blank there. I'm not saying that all crowds are bad. There are some crowds that are very good. There are many people with special interests. They get together in a crowd and they do good things. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about crowds that take away our ability to grow in Christ and to do good works and to bear fruit in His kingdom. And I want us to see that as we go along this morning, to do good things for the church and for the cause of Christ on this earth. The crowds keep the lost from obeying the gospel. The crowds keep the Christian from doing the work of the Lord, bearing fruit in the kingdom. The Apostle John writes Jesus' words in John chapter 15 and verse 5, where Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear fruit." If we abide in the vine, if we abide in Him, and He abides in us, we will bear fruit, He says. But there are many crowds that we get stuck in, and I get stuck in crowds. There are probably some crowds right now that I may be hiding in. There may be a crowd that I may be stuck in, and we need to step out of those crowds. We need to step out of those crowds so we can get to work. There is the crowd of fear. Those who are afraid to go tell friends, families, co-workers, neighbors, go tell them what Jesus has meant to me in my life. That's what we need to do. We need to tell these people what Jesus, we're afraid of ridicule. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of maybe being ostracized or losing family or friends because of this kind of thing. There is crowds of pessimism. "But it doesn't matter what I do. It never works out. It never has worked out. I can't do that. That wouldn't work for me. That's not the kind of person I am. I can't do that." Just people with a negative attitude. It won't work. If I try to evangelize, it won't work. There's a crowd of indifference. This is a crowd that a lot of people are hiding in. This is a crowd that a lot of people are in. I think about the Laodiceans. You remember them in Revelation chapter 3, the letter that our Lord dictated through the Apostle John there to the church at Laodicea. They were the lukewarm church, remember? And that's what we're talking about here, indifference. That's lukewarmness. People who, they believe in God, and this was Leah, they believe in God, but we don't really know enough about Him to decide whether we want to be for Him or against Him. So we're just indifferent about that. And then there's the crowds of religious error. People who want to hide in a crowd with others who are in the same boat that we are. You know something? Trouble loves company, doesn't it? That's a normal human response. When I have trouble, I love to find someone else that has the same trouble, or maybe it's just a little bit worse. These are the kind of crowds that we might hide in. I'm talking about, you know, the church is challenged by crowds. There's not any doubt about it. So let's study some basic facts this morning about crowds and how to step out of the crowd that we might be hiding in. I'm talking about here crowds of fear, crowds of pessimism, crowds of indifference, crowds of sin, transgression. The Bible says so much about the detriment crowds can bring, both in commandment and in example. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, God is giving the Israelites some instruction, some commandments, some instructions, both civil and religious. And he's giving those through his prophet Moses, of course. And Moses says in this scripture, you will not follow the multitude to do evil. What Moses is saying there is, stay out of the crowd. Get out of the crowd. Act singularly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we find Sennacherib. Now, he was the king of Assyria. He had his armies, and he had his multitudes of his people, and they were all camping over in Judah. Well, King Hezekiah, the king of Israel, who was a godly king, one of the few godly kings of the nation of Israel, but he said, I don't see any sense in these people coming and encroaching on our land and using our water. So they went out and they stopped up all the branches and springs and everything, took the water away from the Assyrians. But when the Israelites saw all of that crowd, they saw all of that crowd, the Assyrians camping out there, they become very afraid, very fearful. And here we find some calming words in verse 7 from Hezekiah. He said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitudes that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Listen carefully. There are more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. And it says that the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 22, in Philippi there arose a crowd against Paul when he cast an evil spirit out of a young girl who some men were using to make money, using to deceive other people. And many people came, they joined in with this crowd. They tried to kill Paul. They would have killed him had he not escaped. And they were wrong. They were just wrong. In Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus, there came arose a crowd that was led by the silversmiths. They were in the business of crafting little silver models of Diana, the goddess Diana, and the temple Diana. And Paul was in there preaching that God lives in temples not made with hands. And the silversmiths knew that if his message catches on, then that's really going to cut into our money. So this crowd arose against him. Verse 32 tells us that many of those who had thrown in with them didn't even know what the crowd was about. I wonder how many, and that often happens today in these street demonstrations that we see around the country. And I've seen actually on the news where a news reporter tried to interview someone that was in the crowd that was in the demonstration, and they asked the news reporter, what are they doing? That they were in the demonstration, but they didn't know what the demonstration was about. And I wonder how many times that happens. But they were wrong about that. In Luke 23 and verse 1, the crowd crucified our Lord. It said, and the multitude led him to Pilate. Verse 21 says, they cried, crucify him, crucify him. And they were wrong. Yes, crowds challenge the church. Crowds to hide our fear in. Crowds to shelter our indifference in. Crowds even to revel in our sin. Number two, there are many reasons why some don't or won't step out of the crowd and join the work. There are many reasons. Number one, it's popular to be in the crowd. That's where everyone is. And it's such a danger. It's such a danger to us that our Lord had so much to say about that. So popular. Jesus said that many will be lost in their crowd. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, he said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's where the crowd is. The crowds are on that wide road. Can't you just see them going? They're just a crowd. They're just going this way, all of them together, going on a journey toward destruction. He says, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and few there will be there find it. He said, many will find the wide road and get on that right gate. Later, someone came up to him in Luke chapter 13, verse 23 and following, and said, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said again, almost reiterating what he had already said, strive to enter in through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter in, will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he'll answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from. This is a metaphor for final judgment. When the Lord comes back again, there's going to be many he's not going to know. And he'll say, and he says more than once throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, our Lord says more than once, I never knew you. I don't know you. You're not one of mine. Yes, we need to step out of the crowd now. That's what Jesus is saying here. So it's popular to be in a crowd. It's also safe to be in a crowd. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, there's safety in numbers, right? Or at least there is the illusion of safety. But it might not be as safe as we think it is. Number three, it's comfortable to be in a crowd. Why leave it? If there was not a crowd to share my transgressions in, if there was not a crowd where I could share my misgivings and misunderstandings in, then I'd have to just hide my face in shame, I guess. But we have to have these crowds to hide in. Number four, it's convenient to be in a crowd. If that many people believe in thus and so, then it can't be wrong. So it's convenient to be in the crowd. I'll join the crowd of people that have the same misconceptions that I have. Number five, some are in the crowd because of fear. I already talked about this, fear of failure, fear of ridicule, fear of loss of friends, family, fear of being ostracized from the group. But Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, and he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Self-control, another version says. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We have that power. Philippians 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Romans 8:31, he writes, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who on earth can be against us? If God be for us, and he is for us. 2 Peter 3:9 says he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's for us. And his long-suffering, he is long-suffering, not sending the Lord Jesus back again too soon to give us plenty of time. He is for us. Some won't leave their crowd simply because of ignorance. They just don't know enough doctrine to decide. So just follow the crowd, just drifting along. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, says that they're like children. Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's so many reasons to step out of the crowd. Outside the body of Christ, the crowd you're in is lost. In the church, the crowd you're in may not be doing what God commanded. Maybe my crowd is the one that thinks it's not necessary to assemble together when the saints assemble together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works among the fellowship." To stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, there is a pattern of God's people assembling together. When they were wandering in the wilderness, they assembled together at the tent of meeting. When they were after their captivity, they assembled together in the temple there in Jerusalem. God's people have always assembled together, sometimes five, six times a week, sometimes every day. Maybe my crowd thinks it's okay to let most of the other people do the work. Maybe my crowd is the one that doesn't believe that I should give as I've been prospered, and I should purpose in my heart each week. We need to know. We need to be honest. We need to study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says to be diligent, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everyone needs to come out of the crowd, because the world around us needs us so desperately. According to the world population clock, we are, as of yesterday, at 7.95 billion souls on this planet. 360,000 and some change will be born today. Only about 160,000 will die today, which means that the population will grow by about 75 million by the end of the year. We're going to be at 8 billion people in just a few years. In the 2020s, we will be there. And listen, evangelism is one-on-one. And I think that's what we're talking about. Jesus said to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15, and 16. If we took all the members of the Lord's church today and they all suddenly became evangelistic, we wouldn't have enough to cover the population. Unless we could put together some really huge gospel meetings, some really huge meetings, we wouldn't be able to do the job. Living in fear, living in pessimism, living in indifference, living in transgression will not get the job done either. In a morality crisis, everybody's doing it seems to be the watchword. Christians need to take a stand. Step out of the crowd. Take a stand for righteousness. We need courage. We're not given a spirit of fear, but a power. No guts, no glory. We've been called to virtue and glory. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter writes there, according to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. We've been called to glory and virtue. It takes a lot to step out of the crowd. Number one, desire. You've got to want it. You've got to want it bad. Stephen read just a few moments ago from Matthew, but in Mark 8, verse 36 and 37, it says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Substantially the same thing is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. We need desire. We need motivation, and motivation needs to come from within. You can listen to preachers. You can listen to Bible teachers talk, but one has to motivate oneself, because we know that we're eternally and everlastingly lost if we don't step out of the crowds that we're in. And you know, Paul said to the Corinthians, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. It takes courage to admit that one is wrong. It takes courage for one to admit they're lost. It takes courage for one to admit they're a sinner. Yet we all are. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. And I stand before you today as your preacher. I'm just an old sinner, saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's the way we all are. We're just old sinners, every one of us. Just an old sinner. And it takes dissatisfaction with where you are. I used to tell our children this when they were growing up, and then I told myself this. I smoked for 27 years. I've told people I smoked professionally for 27. I've done everything to tobacco you can do, from set it in the ground to chop it, prime it, top it, and hang it in the barn. And I smoked it and chewed it. But in 1994, I quit. You want to know why? Because I decided I didn't want to be a smoker anymore. And that's what we got to do. You got to decide you don't want to be in that crowd anymore. That's the only way. I've seen people use patches. I've seen them chew gum till their teeth rotted out and everything else. But you will not quit smoking until you decide you don't want to smoke anymore. You know, for someone to use patches and chew gum and one thing and another, but they still want to smoke, they're not going to quit. We need to want to get out of that crowd that we're in. Someone has said, and I like this, and I heard this from an employee of mine at St. Thomas, who got married yesterday, by the way. But he said this: when the pain of change becomes less than the pain of staying the same, you'll change. Listen to that. When the pain of change becomes less than the pain of staying the same, you'll change. We all will. We sure will. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul said, brethren, I do not count myself to as apprehended. But he said, in other words, he's saying, I'm not saying that I have a home in heaven won. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, that's not the one thing. Reaching forward to the things that are ahead, that's not the one thing either. What is the one thing? He said, I press toward the goal of the mark of the prize of an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That was the one thing, which brings up the next point: commitment. We need real commitment to Christ, to the church, to the lost, to fellow Christians, to myself. I need commitment for myself as well. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Stephen read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know what that means? When I deny myself, it means I just stepped out of the crowd. That's what that means. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He said, you need to change your job. First of all, step out of the crowd that you're in. Step into the crowd in which I am. and you must also have staying power. This was the subject of my lesson last Lord's Day evening about the high cost of discipleship. We got to have staying power. We have to make sure that we have enough gas to make the trip, that we're up to the task of looking to Jesus and living for Him all the rest of the days of our lives, as long as we live. Need to have staying power. Revelation 2:10. Jesus dictated the letter through the Apostle John to the church at Smyrna. And he said, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Before that, he said, some of you are going to be thrown into prison. You're going to undergo tribulation for 10 days. And we talked about this. 10 days doesn't mean 10 days there. 10 days is symbolic. It means a little while. You're going to have tribulation for a little while. But you be faithful, even though it costs you your life. And I'm going to take care of you. You'll have a home with me in heaven someday. But there's one last thing I want to say. The last thing we need to do to step out of the crowd is take a step. That's all it is, just a step. There's one crowd that we definitely want to be in. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're in Him. You put Him on. Just like clothes, you put Him on. Now, you're in Him. We want to be in Christ. In judgment, people will be standing in one of two different sets of circumstances. There will be those who are in Christ, and there will be those who are out of Christ, and there won't be any other crowds. That'll be the two crowds. We want to be in the crowd that is in Christ. And this is the bottom line. Just a step. Every journey just begins with a step. Are you hiding in a crowd? I just ask that everyone this morning just be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with me. Just be honest with yourself. If you're hiding in a crowd of fear, indifference, pessimism, whatever it is, sin, that's holding you back and keeping you from doing the work of the church, from it keeping you from evangelizing neighbors, friends, family, co-workers, at least those, and then branch into people that you don't even know. But we all have a great circle of people just in those. And we know that if they left this life today, they would be lost eternally. We know that. What was that song? You never mentioned Him to me. It goes something like this. When in a better land, before the bar we stand. How bittersweet our souls will be if any lost one there should sigh in deep despair. Mike, you never mentioned Him to me. I imagine a lot of people are going to hear that for sure. We need to step out of the crowd this morning. It starts with a step. If you're outside of the body of Christ, you need to be baptized here this morning before you leave this building. If you've strayed away from Him, you need to come back. Whatever your needs are, Brother Rick has announced a song, Only a Step. It takes a step as we stand together and sing.